16, and oh, here come Nate with my water.
Before I start, let me take a sip of this. By the time we finished that choir song, I was all lightheaded. I thought I was going to pass out. And some choir songs are tougher than others to sing. I've discovered that. And but anyway, here we are in Luke chapter 16. Verses 19 through 31. This morning I am preaching on my least favorite subject. You've probably heard me say this before. I do not like to preach on the subject of hell. But if I'm going to be faithful to the Word of God and be a faithful preacher of the Word of God, every now and then I need to preach on this subject. And so we're going to preach on this subject this morning and look at this particular story from the Word of God that teaches us a lot about this subject. So beginning in verse 19, it says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and for the important truths that are revealed to us within its pages. And this morning, as we look at the subject of the reality of hell, I pray, Father, that you would help us to catch a glimpse of this place spiritually so that two things can happen. So that if there's anybody in this room that it does not know Christ, that is not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today they'll take care of that matter. But also for those of us who know you as Savior and Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be refreshed in our minds about what it is you delivered us from, so that we can be more thankful and more grateful for the wonderful salvation that's found in the Lord Jesus. And so teach us, instruct us, and work upon our hearts through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sometimes people will ask us if we like where we live. And we tell them, you know, how we feel about where we live. Some folks, you know, they like where they live, and some folks don't like where they live. There are folks that live in the city, that like living in the city, but there are also folks in the city that would much rather be living out in the country. And there are folks who live out in the country that like living in the country, but there are other country folks who would much prefer to live in the city. Some people prefer rural areas. Some people prefer suburban areas. Some people prefer metropolitan areas. And the good thing about living in America is that if you don't like where you live, you can always move. You can always move. We're free to do that. But when it comes to eternity, it's a different story. Every one of us is going to live in only one of two places. The Bible tells us that believers in Jesus will live in heaven with him for eternity. And it tells us that unbelievers will live for eternity in a place prepared for the devil and his angels, and they will live there for all eternity, this place called hell. But listen, if we could call all the people of hell before us today and say, how do you like living in hell? I guarantee you every one of them would say, there's nothing about this place that I like, not one thing. And I can assure you that no one here today ever wants to go to hell. And let me give you some reasons why. First of all, because hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. There are a lot of people who are desperately hoping that hell does not exist. But unless they accept Christ as their Savior, they're going to spend eternity in that horrible place. Now, they may say, well, I don't believe in a place called hell. But you know what? That means nothing. That means nothing. Because without Christ as their Savior, one day they will find that there is a real place called hell. Now, how do we know that hell is a real place? Well, it's because the Lord Jesus says there's a hell. The New Testament makes reference to a place called hell 162 times. And the Lord himself referenced the subject 70 times. And plain and simply, God's word teaches that there is a hell. God's word says in Psalm 9, verse 7, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. But even though the Bible teaches about this terrible place, the false religions teach that no such place exists. For instance, the Christian Scientists, they say that hell is an error of the mortal mind, that it is just a figment of our imagination. The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists, they believe in annihilation. They believe that if you die, you're no better than a dog, that you die and that's the end of you. Unless you're a Christian, then you will go to heaven. But if you're not a Christian, when you die, that's the end. You're annihilated. The Mormons, they believe that eventually everybody will be saved and not suffer any eternal punishment. And the Adventists, they teach that hell is simply a reference to the grave, that there are no flames or anything like that. It's just a reference to the grave. But the truth is, hell is not the grave. Hell is not annihilation. Hell is not a figment of our imagination. And for the record, hell is not a curse word. Hell is a real place, according to the Word of God. And because hell is a real place, Bible-preaching churches preach sermons like this to warn people of this awful place. And we send missionaries around the world to preach the gospel because every mortal must be warned of this terrible place. If there is no hell, then there is no reason to send missionaries to any other country. But hell is real. And so we obey the great commission that Jesus gave us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, there are some folks that say that this passage of Scripture about the rich man in hell is only a parable. It's only a parable. It's just a made-up story. But according to what we read, it is not a parable. It's a story of a real man that once lived on this earth just like us. How do we know it's not a parable? Well, it's because first Jesus tells us it's a real story. Look at it again there in verse 19. He says, there was a certain rich man. There's no indication that he's telling any kind of a parable here. He says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And then notice the next one. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. He is not talking about some generic beggar in a parable. He's talking about a certain beggar named Lazarus and a certain rich man. Jesus tells us that he is talking about real people in a real story. And then another reason we know this is not a parable is because proper names are not used in a parable. Never does Jesus use proper names in a parable. But in this story, the name Lazarus is used. And by the way, if this story is not a true story, then it sheds doubt on the entire Bible, including the Old Testament, because the name Abraham is mentioned in here. Was Abraham a fictitious character, or was he a real person? See, if this is not telling us the truth, then the whole Bible comes into doubt. But this is talking about actual people in an actual true story. Hell is a real place as much as Barrowville, Rhode Island is a real place. And if you and I could ask someone in hell today, how do you like living in hell? They might tell you, well, you know, I was a rich man when I lived on the earth. But if I could get out of this place, I would give every penny I ever had. Or I was a very famous man when I lived on the earth. But if I could get out of this place, I would gladly give away all the fame I ever had. The point is, hell is real, and it's like no other place that ever existed. And people would give anything if they could get out of that terrible place. And so we see that hell is real. And then secondly, hell is hot. Hell is hot. As I said, some people say, I don't believe in hell. And they are welcome to their opinion. But them not believing in hell does not drop the temperature of hell one single degree. And when people arrive there, they're not only going to see that it's a real place, but they will immediately discover that it is a hot place where people are conscious of their surroundings. In verse 22, we read, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But that's not the end of the story. Death may stop the heart from beating, but death is not the end. Death is not the end. And just look at some of the things about this place called hell. For instance, in hell he could see. Verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Listen, with these eyes, we sometimes see things that are so bad, it causes us to turn our head in a different direction. There are things we cannot bear to look at. But in hell, there's not going to be any place they can cast their eyes to escape the horrors. According to the scriptures, the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw the horrors of hell, and what a shock that must have been to this man. But notice also that in hell he could hear. Go down and look at verse 27. It says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Now, why would he say that? What does he hear that causes him to say that? What's he hearing? He's hearing some of the most horrible screams that have ever been heard. I'm talking about horrible screams. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25, 30 about this place that in hell there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. In hell, people are going to see things that the Bible says were prepared for the devil and his angels. They're going to hear the cries of men and women screaming in agony for eternity. But not only will they see and hear, they will also feel. They will feel. People in hell will feel the flames of hell. Verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. In Matthew, in Mark 9:24, it talks about people going into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And so people in hell will feel the flames of hell. People in hell will feel thirst like they have never experienced before. Again, verse 24, it says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Thirst like they've never experienced before, and there will be no quenching of that thirst ever. And then people in hell will feel pain like they've never experienced before. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, it says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. People in hell will experience pain like they've never experienced before. And let me say this, people in hell will experience regret. And you can see that, you can sense it all the way through this passage of Scripture. And let me tell you this, if there is someone in this room this morning who is listening to me preach about this awful place, and you die having rejected Christ, who is the only way to escape the flames of hell and get into heaven, then you are going to remember that. You're going to remember for eternity that you had the chance to come to Christ for salvation, and you will experience regret like the rich man and like all the souls in hell experience. And so we see that hell is real, hell is hot, and then finally let me say hell is forever. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting punishment from the presence of the Lord, from the power of his glory. It says they're going to experience everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Some do not believe that hell is forever. But God's word makes it very, very clear that the wicked, as it said, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. We quoted Revelation 14:11, where it speaks of the smoke of their torment ascending up forever and ever. We quoted Mark 9, verse 44, where it says the fire is never quenched. Some people do not believe that hell is forever, but God's word makes it clear that it is forever. God put this account in the Bible to show us a man who rejected God's plan and died and went to a place called hell and will be there forever. If you were to ask any of the people in hell, how do you like living in hell? They would tell you the worst mistake they ever made was when they chose their sin over the Savior. Now, there's nothing we can do for them. It has already been determined that they will spend eternity in this place called hell because of their rejection of Christ. They made their eternal choice, and now they must live with it for eternity. But it is not too late for you. If you'll follow three simple principles. First of all, you have to admit to God that you are a sinner and that you deserve hell. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We need to be honest with God about that. And if you think you haven't sinned, you're just kidding yourself. And the Bible even addresses that in 1 John 1:10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Bible even addresses that issue. So we've got to admit that, yes, we are hell-deserving sinners. But the second principle is this: you must repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. The Savior who shed his blood and died on an old rugged cross for your sin. The Savior who took your place that day, and the Savior who 3 days later rose again so you could have eternal life. You must repent and believe the gospel. And then you must call out to Christ. In Romans 10:13, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You need to call out to Christ and let him know that you are trusting him and him alone for the salvation of your soul. Hell is real. Hell is forever. Hell is hot. But the flip side is true as well. Heaven is real. Heaven is forever. But heaven is sweet. And Jesus has made it possible for you to avoid hell and spend eternity in heaven if you will put your faith and your trust in him as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And we thank you that you've given us the warning. And I pray, Father, that if there's anybody in this room today